In lesson two, question two. We have Sally's son, Jeremy Hodges, business this morning, all the way from California, right? As the governor says it.
California.
And his wife and kids are in the building right now. Guess she's okay today.
She's okay. She figured she'd...
At the baby.
Class.
And lesson two, question two. Again, these lessons are a good review. Be sure to do them for the chapters that we're studying. And well, question two. What's the effect, the effects of discretion and understanding? As you saw in, 9 through 12, chapter 2. What are the effects when you bring discretion and understanding into your actions in life? What are some words?
Guard, keep.
Say guard, keep.
Watching.
Guard, keep, watch.
Lead.
Which all these kind of keep us on a good course, don't they? A good path. And eventually what, they'll deliver us from evil, won't they? From evil associations and evil actions. If we use discretion and understanding in what we do. Number three, what does a strange woman or adulteress forsake or leave and forget and ignore?
Companion for you in the covenant of her God.
And what verse was that?
17.
Okay. What is the covenant of her youth? What's another word?
Vows.
To?
Her husband.
Okay. And the last thing was what? Oath to God, wasn't it? Okay. An oath to God. So she's made a promise here, this adulteress, and she left it and then forgets it. Her husband and an oath to God. Pretty strong things. Number four. What are the rewards of remembering God's law and keeping His commandments? What are the rewards? What's the good to come out of it? If God looks at you, what does He see?
Pleasure,
doesn't He? Okay? You have to find favor too, don't you? In 3-4. What about 3-5? What's the reward there? What does it do to you? If you're remembering God's law and you're keeping His commandments, it develops a trust in the Lord, doesn't it? It really does.
What about 3-2?
Okay. What you got in 3-2?
You'll have length of days and long life and peace will be added to you.
Okay, it does things for our personal well-being, our physical well-being, doesn't it? All right, I think we talked about that a little bit last time. If you live a life where you're content to lay your head on your pillow at night, and get up the next morning without the worry in between of whether you've done your best that day to serve the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, and it does give you long life in it. All right? We saw also in some of these chapters, that there was an association with evil people, people that are attack innocent blood and hurt them. And if you live a life where you're in that kind of situation where you're a rough, terror, hurting kind of person, you have to watch out for your association, don't you? Because they're the same way, aren't they?
Go so, to bed with a gun under your pillow.
That's right, you put a gun under your pillow. And it's kind of like a war zone, I guess, all right, when you're on the front lines. But the same idea if you're in that situation. Not to say that these are proverbs are not absolute. You know, you can still have, you know, a good area and a good life and all that, and still things bad can happen. Right?
Bad things can always happen.
Yes, yes. But generally, you know, you're invited when you do that. All right. Anything else on number four? What rewards and that sort of thing? I have 3-7 also. It'll help you turn away from evil. The rewards of remembering God's law and keeping His commandments. Because if you turn away from evil, if you know God's, if you remember God's law and His commandments, that keeps you aware of situations you may hear or see in front of you. So you want to turn away from before you step into it. Yes, sir.
You mentioned trust a minute ago. I think that's one of the most important things about this, because there are a lot of things about God's law that may not make sense unless you have some experience with God's law being right in every case. They may not initially make sense. But that's not shocking. You can hear, there's a lot of scientific theories that if you don't have the experience, it may not make a whole lot of sense. Until you see it demonstrated in front of you and you say, well, that makes sense every time. I think God's law is that way a lot of times, because it may not feel like it should be this way every time because of your experience or lack of experience of it working. And then when you see it happen through doing it, it's kind of experiential. I think that's where that trust allowance comes from.
Especially in life, you know, if you have an apprentice working for a master, mm-hmm. in a trade,
right.
And the apprentice sees things the way they do it, and, mm-hmm. and you begin to trust, well, you have electricity or whatever it is, okay?
Right.
These are certain ways to do it, handing weapons, whatever it is. You learn the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. You learn from observation. I was going to make another point. All right. Trust to a new convert. If you're just new.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trust there in there. You know the end game, I guess, forgiveness in heaven.
and you
step through it, you know, to do the right thing to start with, but there's a lot of trust. Well, let's see, the Word is where I need to go. And good, experienced, mature people. All right?
Well, you've got a lot of information. Well, specifically, if you look at the idea of marriage, the idea that if a woman who is a Christian is married to a man who is not, and we've got some words about her influence over him by staying faithful and staying with him. That may not sound like the best idea to a lot of people. It may not sound like you can really influence someone through a gentle and quiet spirit, you know. But when you do it and you see it work, it underlines that trust.
Yes, it does. A gentle and quiet spirit helps in all of life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Male or female.
Yeah.
All right. Number five. What will cause a person's barns to be filled?
Verse 9 says, honoring the Lord from your wealth.
Yeah, from the first of all your produce, isn't it? How do you honor the Lord with your wealth?
Well, number one, you need to look at it that you didn't do it. God did it. God did it for you.
And what you do with that wealth.
Yes. So if you're poor, God did that to you? Okay.
Sometimes.
But you
the
can
point
be
is
poor.
If you have
but
wealth.
But you can be poor and you can be very blessed.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wealth is not necessarily always money.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Thank goodness.
When you retire, you have a wealth of time, don't you? Yeah, sure. All right. And to you ladies, you know, who don't work outside the home, there's a time there, isn't there? Okay. And I know you ladies here, you're a good example for even you, Lauren, the idea of that. Kayla, all right? That, see how they spend their time, all right? Phone calls, helping, whatever it is. Even praying for people. It's time to do it. If you give all your wealth away, does that guarantee you heaven?
No.
No. Always the attitude, isn't it? It's always the attitude, okay? Serving and helping others. Number six, finding wisdom and getting understanding. Finding wisdom and getting understanding is likened to what? What about merchandise? It's better than silver, isn't it? 3:14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Material goods. B, more precious than what?
Rubies,
jewels, 3:15. And a right hand and left hand. What's that?
Long life is in the right, riches and honor is in the left.
Okay. Complete life. Okay. And number D, her ways and paths in 3:17.
Ways of pleasantness and her paths of peace.
That's the result. E, to them that hold or embrace her, wisdom and understanding. What happens to them? 3:18. They're happy. My God. Okay. Same idea, this idea, pleasant ending. Same idea. Number seven, when should one do good to those to whom it is due? When should you do that?
When it is in your power to do it.
When it is in your power to do it. And if it's in your power to do it, what's the kind of a time word in there that I'm looking for? Three letter, N-O-W. Okay? If, in fact, you have the, you want to do good, and there's ability to do good, and there's opportunity to do good, and it's deserved to do good to them, do it now. Don't put it off. Okay? Because something else is going to come up, isn't it? Or you're going to mitigate what you're doing somehow. All right? Hey.
Okay.
In all of one's, number eight, in all of one's getting, what is the principal supreme thing to acquire?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. And wisdom, applied wisdom, will give you those pleasant ways, paths that are peace, and happy life. All right? And how is the path of the just or righteous compared to the way of the wicked?
A shining star.
Okay, 4:18 and 19.
Dawn and darkness.
Dawn and darkness, okay? Or light and dark, okay? Emerging day, that sort of thing. And we talked in the lesson about, when it talked about the in the light there, light of dawn, what does a person who has wisdom, and wisdom is light, but as the day progresses, what's that kind of mean? What would a person with wisdom, what would a wise person do with wisdom? He'd acquire more, doesn't he? A wise person wants to have more wisdom. Okay? It's a life of unending search, isn't it? And development. Maturity. All right? You've heard it said sometimes, if you're reading the Bible, you never really know it all, do you? You never know it all. All right? There's always a new enlightening part, you see. All right? Which is good for us. And number 10, out of what are the issues of life? Where do they spring? Where does it come from?
The heart.
The heart, doesn't it? Okay? And when we say heart, Kayla, okay, your actions all come out of heart. What are you saying when we say heart? The physical organ?
No. Intentions?
Okay. Intentions really come from our brain, isn't it? Not so much the knowledge part, which is part of it. But that those motivations.
The heart of you is really like the essence of you.
Yes. Conscience, heart, motivator.
What you think, what you do.
Sure. Okay. All right. Good, good, good. And David was after God's own heart. Okay. Please. All right. Now, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 as a group. These are interesting chapters. There's really a little interlude in I guess the first half or so, six. That's a little deviation, but these three chapters really deal with the scarlet letter, which is
adultery.
A book. And. Matter of fact, they had letters for all kinds of things in those days. It wasn't just A. They had letters for T for thief and all that sort of thing. All right. And so this is particularly hard for some people who may be involved in that or been through it. And it's a hard thing to review it here in these Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Let's keep that in mind, too, if we're dealing with someone who's been through it or going through it. It's a hard emotional time. Now, it's going to deal with marriage and adultery, but it starts off here in these first few verses in chapter 5 that kind of back to some of the things we've said before. My son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. Those first two verses. Same thing we've seen before, haven't it? Calling him back to what? Calling his son back. Calling us back. The idea that think about wisdom, give attention to it, incline your ear, observe, that word we saw discretion a while ago in our questions, is to take some time, choose wisely. Sometimes you don't need to rush into things. That's discretion, isn't it? All right? Consult with others. And your lips may reserve knowledge. I was looking at that reserve knowledge. I don't know, what's King James on that, Sally, on the second part of verse 2?
That thy lips may keep knowledge.
Okay. Lips may keep knowledge. All right? If you're keeping it, you're reserving it, aren't you? And if I've got knowledge, there's a couple things I can do with it. I can apply it in my life.
You teach others.
Teach others, can't you? You pass it on, can't you? All right? And so that's what he's saying here. Back to wisdom and understanding and discretion and knowledge. I always wore those words tied together.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it's interesting, the contrast between the end of 2 and the beginning of 3. Because in both of those, he's talking about things you do with your mouth, things that you do with your speech.
Right.
Because the contrast is immediately, you can say the right thing to people. I mean, if your lips keep knowledge, you not only, like you said, apply it to your own life, but can dispense it. You can speak to other people things that are wise. And then the immediate contrast is what people who have evil intentions do with their speech as well.
Haven't we seen so far in Proverbs, and we'll see for the rest of it, in Scripture, really, it's always speech and words in it is the avenue to cause one to live as they should live, cause one from the heart to make the decisions they should. It's always words, communicated language. All right, that's what he's stressing here. In other words, he's saying, read what I wrote. All right? I've written. All right? And your lips may reserve knowledge. In verse 3, for the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smooth in all is her speech. I'm going to read 4, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Contrast the nose. What's the idea of lips and dripping honey? And her speech is smooth as oil.
She's smooth. She can tell you what you want to hear.
She can sell you a car if the wheels and the motor doesn't work, right?
Exactly.
That's great, Stevie Wonder.
What's a dripping honey? Lips dripping honey.
Well, it's sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's appealing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. And to a young man, it's really appealing, isn't it? Okay. You know, sometimes you can look at some women, they're talking. You may not even hear what they're saying. You're just looking at their lips and looking at them. All right? What did they say? All right? And that's a little off. But anyway. So there's an appeal, smooth speech.
Well, it's almost like, I mean, you can think of it, like when you're talking babies. You can talk to babies, and it's your tone.
Yes.
The way you're talking to them. They don't understand a single word you're saying, but it's the tone and how you're talking to them and how you're looking at them that captivates them to your face.
So smooth speech and appealing speech can also include the reflections in your voice, can it? And the tone of your voice and the volume of it. Yes?
Well, also, in this, a lot of times when you've got something that's smooth like honey, it also has to do with going down easy. A lot of times when it refers to the word as being smooth like honey, or the law in Psalm 119, talking about smooth like honey, a lot of it has to do with taking it in and it being easy to take in. And I think that that's one of the most important things. There can be some very hard and there can be some real barbs in there. But if couched a particular way, it can be.
And verse 4, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. I was looking at the word wormwood, and really another word you can put there is gall. It's a bitter juice. All right?
I recently did a study on it. The wormwood is it's a very bitter herb. It also causes hallucinations. It was used in a lot of idolatrous practices during these times. And so when it shows up a lot in other places, it's normally associated with idolatrous
practices. What you're saying is it's bitter, but it also dulls your senses. Is that what you're saying?
Perhaps
it diminishes your self-control. And sharp is a two-edged sword. Cuts, doesn't it? And I was looking at that too, the idea of two-edged sword. In Hebrew, it was the idea of having two mouths. Mouths. All right? That you can devour completely. You can eat completely if you have two mouths. Interesting. Okay? In other words, there is an end. The end is. All right? So we said, here's what she does. It's kind of the beginning and the end. Five, her feet, this adulteress, go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. There's dying involved. You're leading away to the grave. You're being held fast. In other words, the end is not good, is it? All right? Same idea. And number six, she does not ponder the path of death. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. She doesn't... When you see the word path a lot, okay, through Scripture, through the Proverbs, does she ponder life? She's unstable. She doesn't know it. She really doesn't give any thought to her way of life. If you give no thought to your way of life, the ones you affect, you really don't give any thought, do you? Except to use them or for your personal pleasure or whatever it is. All right? It's almost like, yeah, go ahead.
One idea of wisdom is being able to see the end from the beginning. And when the sharp contrast in this, you know, to being able to see the end from the beginning is someone who doesn't even consider it. I mean, if the path isn't even considered at all, there's no way to eyeball what the end might be.
Yeah. So it's not good when you have contact with adulteress. I don't know if I can make comparison now, but is it just a female male? I mean, is only adulteress a female?
Yeah.
No. Some of these principles here apply to men too, doesn't it? Okay? Slick speech.
All.
Good point. All right? As a someone. Okay. So definitely is applied to the male gender here, or even the husband. Okay? And the end is going to be the same. And the way they think is the same. Now, 7 through 14 is kind of a unit. And it says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Y'all, any thought about, I was reading about the idea, we went from son to sons, plural, and some of the thoughts are, from different commentators, is that it's talking to a wider audience now. Interesting, more people talking to it. It's interesting, okay? Listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Listen to me, do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Far and near. Always look at the contrasting words. Keep your way far from her.
Kind of remind you of Samson. One of the things that you can read about with Samson, the times he gets himself in the time he gets into situations that are terrible, or places when he couldn't keep his feet away from the place where he wasn't supposed to be. He's under a Nazirite vow, and so he can't come in contact with any great products, and yet he hangs out in the vineyard. They're not supposed to go near anything unclean, but he eats honey out of the carcass of a dead predator. And then, of course, he spends a lot of his time with people, with women who are like what's described here. And so we not only have this beautiful section that is didactic, that tells us, how to do it, but you also have a lot of example of people who can't keep their feet away from places they're not supposed to be.
Right. Good point. Number 9. Or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Vigor is the idea of strength. There's an end game in this, and it'll just be strength and years for that. That's really the result of it. And number 10, and strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. Kind of puts in the idea of transferring wealth, doesn't it? Okay? Go to the house of an alien. If your goods are for the good, if you want them to be good, have good application to them, but you give them to an alien, alien's going to have other uses for them, aren't they? All right? And that's, to a lot of people, that's you consider that in life. Where you buy things, where you purchase from, you consider, am I going to benefit them or not? All right? Let's see. 11. And you're grown at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. Now that's the end game, isn't it? Kind of conclusion of the thing. You're grown at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. When this is done and you look back, my goods are gone, my vigor's gone, my strength gone, the years have gone by, I made a mess of things. It's a lot of anguish, isn't it? Your body and your flesh are consumed. That end game is not good. Okay, it's kind of the conclusion of things. let's see. And number 12. And you say, how have I hated instruction? And my heart spurned reproof. Well, how did I do that? 13. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. He's showing a little hopeless here, a little remorse. How did this happen to me? And he says it right. My heart spurned reproof. What's the idea of reproof?
Correction.
Okay, the idea, hey, you know, I'm going to pull you aside. Let's talk about it. I saw you do something, or I heard something out of your mouth, or I saw you somewhere. You think that's really what, you know, what Jesus would do, all right, or something like that? And those are good points, aren't they? And, but you spurned it. You didn't want it because you thought your wisdom was better than, you know, revealed wisdom. Okay? And I have not listened to the voice of my teachers or inclined my ear to my instructors. Teachers, instructors. Necessary?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's exactly right. Teachers and instructors who have been through it, okay, or been with others who have been through it. But, and the goal of, and everything we've seen here, the goal of this father talking to his son, the teachers and instructors, is what? Bring you to knowledge, and the knowledge will bring you to wisdom on it. Okay? And this teachers and instructors may be the idea of my sons up there in the next part, which is a wider audience. And I'll, let's see. 14. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. This vice was leading to, you know, leads to all other kinds of vice. And in the midst of the assembly and congregation, whoa, now, it's not personal anymore, is it? So there's something that's moved out now from here to a wider audience, hasn't it? To the assembly and the congregation. The shame now that you've been in is not private anymore, it's public. It could hurt your standing with your peers. If I said Tiger Woods, is there a problem with his peers and his audience? I mean, even jokes going around now that his name is not Tiger, it's Cheetah Woods anymore. Okay? All right? So, it hurts you in the community, in the assembly, in the congregation, in the world, doesn't it? Okay? It's moved out. And you see it, don't you? Okay? Sure.
All right. It assumes the idea of shame.
When you got other people saying things about you, hopefully they have some...
second thoughts.
They're doing some reproving, okay? All right? But even in the worldly sense, Tiger in the adulterer situation, you know, he's in, okay? The world sees that.
Yeah.
See? As one who cannot be, what was the word? T word a while ago?
Trusted.
Trust, isn't it? Okay, it goes back to that, doesn't it? See? All right. So, that's a result of it. Now, that's that. Now, and continuing the same thought in 15, drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad? Drink the water in the streets. Drink water in your own cistern, fresh water in your own well. be faithful, right, to your spouse. Okay? That's good. That's good. And the idea of well and water in the Far East was something to be cherished, wasn't it? Okay? All right. Some of you may say the word fidelity. Another word there. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? That's the result, isn't it, if you do that? And the answer is, should they be dispersed in the streets and dispersed abroad? The answer is
no.
17. Let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Yours alone, not for strangers. Okay? One man, one woman. 18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, or the husband of your youth. Why is it blessed? It's saying the same thing, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth.
Well, it's relationships. Yeah.
That's right. What's the word rejoice say?
Being intoxicated with
it. Esteem it, honor it, have joy in it. I look forward to it. If you have something that you like doing, have joy in it, what do? Sometimes you go back there, don't you?
You're going to nurture it.
Sure are. Sure are. Okay? Good points. 19, as a loving hand and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. That's meant to, interesting word. That's little pictures words there. And what does that do to a young man? What do that verse...
Not writing to just young men.
That's right. That's right.
The idea is that is always. So he has a long-term relationship in mind here.
It's an alluring picture painted in it. Okay? Again, rejoice over. And let's see. And this is to give the young man some positive things to think about. And always be exhilarated with their love. All right. Number 20. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? Well, that's the question. Why should you, after I've said these things? And here's one reason. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the capital L-O-R-D, and he watches all his paths. That's a good reason, isn't it? It's a good reason, okay, because God knows all, sees all. And the end game there, not bad health, is it? End game there is something eternal in it. Okay? And so God watches that. Now, God knows what's going on. See any questions? I know we mentioned some of the others that this L-O-R-D appears some many times, some none. Here we've got, you know, one instance of it. This is the only instance here, you know, in this proverb. All right? And verse 22. His own inequities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. Held with the cords of his sin, captured. His actions will bind him, won't they? By your own actions, you're bound, aren't you? It's kind of like you paint yourself in a corner. What are you going to do? Yes, sir.
So one of the places that really underlines the similarity between James and the wisdom literature. This verse is so close to James 1:14, saying that he says God is the tempting one. It's when your own desires bring forth sin. He says, you know, if you let it get away, you know, you mess with your own desire way too much, and you get yourself in trouble. And that this verse is very similar to that. It really is amazing sometimes how close James, the words in James, are to a lot of the Psalms and Proverbs. Shows the reiteration of these wise things in the New Testament.
When you're captured and you're held, can you get loose? It's possible, but it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. And 23, he will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he will go astray. This man here, when he chooses to ignore instruction, he dies. And this lack of instruction leads to ruin, doesn't it? Okay? And in the minor pettiness of his folly, he will go astray. No, this is a big deal in the magnitude of it. Okay, the greatness of it. God's stressing the point in you. This is not a little thing. Okay? So your destiny, your end game, everything, the influence of God, everything depends on it. And so, I've got a little point here. That in chapter 5, we just went through, the adulteress's honey is bitter, but the wife's water stays sweet, and the husband's water stays sweet. So we need to think about that for 5. 5's a good chapter. Any questions on 5? Now 6, we'll start again. My son, if you... This is a little change. That's what I was saying. There's a little group of words in 1 through, 18 or 19 here in this chapter. There's some diversion from the idea of adultery. 5, 6, and 7 have that as a major theme. Now, because we can make some foolish decisions in our life. And some of you no doubt made some of these decisions. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, having given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself, that you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids, and deliver yourself like a gazelle and a bird in the hand of a fowler. That whole section is dealing with lending money, isn't it? Okay? Lending money to a stranger. It's more than that. You borrowed money, putting your livelihood and your home, your security in jeopardy. Okay, I'm getting to that.
Okay, I'm not seeing money in this.
Okay, surety is the idea of a guarantee. It's a guarantee for your neighbor, and there's a relationship with your neighbor here. And why have this? And that's down here. It says that when you get down to the part, we'll explain it here. Let me get to that point. Pledge. Pledge. Surety. I think some other versions might say some guarantee.
Collateral.
Collateral. Okay, that sort of thing. And I'll develop that in just a second. So we've got some surety and guarantees with a stranger. And if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, been caught with the words of your mouth, okay. Do this then, my son, deliver yourself, since you have come to the hand of your neighbor. The hand of your neighbor is the idea of power. That in this guarantee you've given, okay, you're really under their power now because you're obligated, aren't you? Because of this you've done.
It's like co-signing for a loan.
Kinda. Well, except,
yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
All right. But this is, I'll make the point in just a second. And it says, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Deliver yourself, go humble yourself, go to this person. If you found yourself in this situation where you've obligated yourself with your funds, and it's really for get-rich-quick. Okay. Hey. Okay? That you've got a real deal out here. Okay? Man, I got to borrow some money and get into this. All right? To a stranger. What do you do if you're in that situation? Don't do it. But if you're in that situation, what do? You humble yourself. You go talk to them. You don't let them sleep. No slumber. You try to... Get out of that arrangement. Pay it off quickly. Okay? If you've got a quick loan and it's 50% interest, you know, or something, okay? Or if you bought something, get out of it as quick as you can. Because the longer you're in it, the longer you're in their hand, aren't you? You're under their power. Okay? You see on some TV shows sometimes, you owe me this. Now, I want you to do this.
It's like credit card debt.
It is like
kind of, but this is, I think, is yeah, it's a little worse than that. Okay.
It's more like Owen,
what
do they call it? Yeah.
Well, let's say that when you get some wealth, young people, you're going to be approached by people who want to give you quick wealth. Give me $1,000, I'll turn it into $2,000 in 2 months.
What's more amazing about this is what you have done is you have put up your, like you said, livelihood. I think that's one of the most important.
Well, you put the strain. I think I've got some points over here. You made some strain on your family,
yeah,
on your obligations, your service to God and his children. There's a lot of things that you brought yourself into a lot of anguish that you don't need.
More importantly, you put yourself in a situation to where you can be influenced by someone else that may want you to do something for them that you normally would never do.
Yes, yes. And the point of give no sleep or slumber to your eyelids, you know, expedite, work on it, okay? Because, well, I made that mistake, you know, all right? But move it, try to get out if you can.
Cut your losses.
Yeah, cut your losses. You understand that, don't you? I was thinking about you, okay? And deliver yourself like gazelle from a hunter's hand. Does a gazelle just stand around? Gets out of there, don't they? You use the word gazelle, interesting. And like a bird in the hand of a fowler. They have a survival instinct, don't they? I'm getting out of this. And that's the whole idea of this little cute little section here, okay? We can learn from animals. That's why they put in here. All right? You're in a contract, and you sign something, and you got second thoughts on it. You know what? You got 3 days to change your mind. You can get out of it. So if you got some itching in your mind, check it out further. Okay, especially internet now. You can check out a lot of things really quickly. Okay? All right. Let's see. I don't know if this relates or not. What's that commercial about freecreditreport.com? You see, he married this girl and he didn't know she had all the credit card debt. And now they're living in her mother's basement. Okay? And he's playing guitar with his friends there. She's going back and forth. Before you get married, check out the credit card debt. Right? Now, it's a little turn now in these next set of verses. We're going to go back now to the animal kingdom a little bit, and it's dealing with a little different subject. And so what in number 6 it says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. So we're going to look at the ant now, aren't we? And called a sluggard in contrast to the ant. Okay? And if we look here what the ant does, it's going to tell us what the sluggard does or doesn't do. All right? Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers provisions in the harvest. What did the ant just do now?
I'm sorry. To me, it's saying she does this without anyone telling her that she needs to do it. With having no chief or officer or ruler, she does these things because they're what she should do. She doesn't have to be told to prepare.
Because it's the wise thing to do, isn't it? See? It's the thing to do that benefits the ant, and I guess the rest of the colony too, isn't it?
Everybody, yeah.
Okay. That she get prepares her food in the summer and the provision of the harvest. Now, here it comes. Now, so what has the ant done from the animal kingdom? It provides for itself. It's self-directed. It doesn't need to learn. What is the ant going to teach? The ant is going to do something to the sluggard. It's going to teach the sluggard. Okay? So you can learn things from the animal kingdom. Just like the gazelle doesn't stay in the hunter's hand, does it? Under the power of the hunter. Same idea. All right. And here's a question in 9. Okay, sluggard, how long will you lie down? When will you rise from your sleep? How long? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. What's the slugger doing?
Sleep.
You're just sleeping or laying around.
It's not doing what needs to be done.
Just laying around.
You're just lazy.
Okay? And that next part, your power to come like a van on your knee, like an armed man. All right? And that, we'll get to that. So let's put a mark there. That, we'll probably go back and review this minute. But we'll go right in there. Okay, thank you very much. Sure to work ahead on these.